Welcome to The Practice of Piety by Lewis Bailey. We are continuing to read from page 174. This Reformation audio resource is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. Many free resources, as well as our complete mail order catalog containing classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, CDs, and much more at great discounts, are on the web at www.puritandownloads.com. Also, please consider, pray, and act upon the important truths found in the following quotation by Charles Spurgeon. As the Apostle says to Timothy, so also he says to everyone, give yourself to reading. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read. Renounce as much as you will all light literature, but study as much as possible sound theological works, especially the Puritanic writers and expositions of the Bible. The best way for you to spend your leisure is to be either reading or praying. And now to SWRB's reading of The Practice of Piety, which we hope you find to be a great blessing, and which we pray draws you nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by him. John chapter 14, verse 6. 6. The corruption of our nature found in the manifest opposition of wicked men and in the secret unwillingness of good men to sanctify sincerely the Sabbath sufficiently demonstrates that the commandment of the Sabbath is spiritual and moral. 7. Because that as God, by a perpetual decree, made the sun, the moon, and the other lights in the firmament of heaven, not only to divide the day from the night, but also to be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. So he ordained in the church on earth the holy Sabbath to be not only the appointed reason for his solemn worship, but also the perpetual rule and measure of time. So that as 7 days makes a week, 4 weeks a month, 12 months a year, so 7 years make a Sabbath of years. 7 Sabbaths of years makes a jubilee. 80 jubilee, or 4,000 years, or after Ezekiel, 4,000 cubits. The whole time of the Old Testament, till Christ, by his baptism and preaching, began the state of the New Testament. Neither can I here pass over without admiration how the sacrament of circumcision continued in the church 39 jubilees from Abraham, to whom it was first given, until the baptism of Christ in Jordan, which was just so many jubilees as the world had continued before Adam and the birth of Abraham. Moses began his ministry in the 80th year of his age. Christ enters upon his office in the 80th jubilee of the world's age. Joseph was 30 years old when he began to rule over Egypt, and the Levites began to serve in the tabernacle at 30 years old. So Christ likewise, to answer these figures, began his ministry at the 30th jubilee of Moses, and when he began to be 30 years of age, in the midst of Daniel's last week, and so finished our redemption and Daniel's period by his innocent death upon the cross. The most of all of the great alterations and strange accidents which fell out into the church came to pass either in the sabbatical year or in a year of jubilee. For example, the 70 weeks of Daniel, beginning the first year of Cyrus and the 3,439th year of the world, contained so many years as the world did weeks of years until that time, and so many weeks of years as the world had lasted jubilees. Daniel's 70 weeks of years containing 490 single years, the world before that time 490 weeks or Sabbaths of years. Daniel's period, 70 weeks, the world 70 jubilees, so that to comfort the church for their 70 years captivity, which they had now, according to Jeremiah's prophecy, endured in Babylon, Gabriel tells Daniel that at the end of 70 weeks, or Sabbaths of years, that is, 70 times 7 years, or 490 years, their eternal redemption from hell should be effected by the death of Christ, as sure as they are now redeemed from the captivity of Babylon. This period of Daniel containing 70 Sabbaths, or 10 jubilees of years, began at the first liberty granted by Jews, by Cyrus, in the first year of his reign over the Babylonians, mentioned in Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, and ends just at the time that Christ died upon the cross. From the death of Christ, or the last end of Daniel's weeks, so the 70 and 1 year of Christ, the world is measured by 7 seals, or 7 Sabbaths of years, making 1 complete jubilee. From the end of those 7 seals, the world is measured to its end by 7 trumpets, each containing 240 years. About 440 years hence, the truth will appear. Enoch, the 7th from Adam, having lived so many years as there are days in a year, 365, was translated of God in a sabbatical year. Moses, the 7th from Abraham, as another Enoch, is buried of God, but born in a sabbatical year of the world, 2,377th year since the flood. He is saved as a new Noah, in a reed ark, and lived builder of the church so long as Noah was building the ark, 120 years. The promise was made to Abraham in a sabbatical year, being the 2,023rd year of the world. The 6th year of Joshua being 2,500 years from the creation of the world, when the land was possessed and divided among the children of Israel, was a sabbatical year, and the 50th jubilee from the creation of the world. At this year, Moses begins his jubilee, by which, as with a chain of 30 links, he tieth the parting of Canaan's possession to the Israelites, by Joshua, to the opening of the kingdom of heaven to all believers by Jesus, and so carries the church of the Jews by a joyful stream of jubilees, from the type to the substance, from Canaan to heaven, from Joshua to Jesus. For Christ at the end of Moses' 30 jubilees and the beginning of the 30th year of his age, at his baptism opens heaven and gives the clearest vision of the Blessed Trinity that was seen since the world began. And by the silver trumpet of his gospel proclaims, according to the prophecy of Isaiah, eternal redemption for all that repent and believe in him. And the year of our Savior Christ's birth, being 3,948th of the world, was at the end of the sabbatical year and the 564th septenary of the world. Moses makes the common age of all men to be 10 times 7, and every 7th year commonly produces some notable change or accident in man's life. And no wonder, for as Hippocrates affirms, a child in his mother's womb on the 7th day of his conception has all of his members finished, and from that day grows to the perfection of birth, which is always either the 9th or the 7th month. At 7 years old, the child casts his teeth and receives new. And every 7th year after, there is some alteration or change in man's life, especially at 9 times 7, the climacteric year, which by experience is found to have been fatal to many of those learned men who have been the chiefest lights of the world. And if they escape that year, yet most of them have departed this life in a sectarian year. Lamech, he died in the year of his life, 777. Methuselah, the longest liver of the sons of men, died when he began to enter his 970th year. Abraham died when he had lived 25 times 7 years. Jacob, when he had lived 21 times 7 years. David, after he had lived 10 times 7 years. So did Galen, and so did Patriarch, who died on the same day of the year that he was born, and so did Queen Elizabeth of blessed memory. Hippocrates died in the 50th septenary. Hierome and Isocrates in their 30th. Pliny, Bartolius, and Caesar in their 8th septenary, and Johannes, who lived 361 years, died in the 53rd septenary of his life. The like might be observed of innumerable others, and indeed the whole life of a man is measured by the Sabbath. For how many years soever a man lives here, yet his life is but a life of 7 days multiplied, so that in the number of 7 there is a mystical perfection to which our understanding cannot attain. All which divine disposition of admirable things so oft by sevens call upon us to a continual meditation of the blessed seventh-day Sabbath, in knowing and worshiping God in this life. And so from Sabbath to Sabbath, we may be translated to the eternal glorious Sabbath of rest and bliss in the life which is to come. By which consideration any man that looks into the holy history may easily perceive that the whole course of the world is drawn and guided by a certain chain of God's providence, disposing all things in number, measure, and weight. All times are therefore measured by the Sabbath, so that time and Sabbath can never be separated. And the angel swears that this measure of time shall continue till time shall be no more. And as the Sabbath had its first institution in the first book of the Scriptures, so has it its confirmation in the last. And as this book authorizes this day, so this day graces the book, in that the matter thereof was revealed upon so holy a day, the Lord's revelation upon the Lord's day. As well, therefore, may they pull the sun, the moon, the stars out of the heavens, as abolish the holy Sabbath, time's meter rod, out of the church. Seeing the Sabbath is ordained in the church, as well as the sun and the moon, in the firmament, for the distinction of times. Because that the whole church, by a universal consent, ever since the time of the apostles, have still held the commandment of the Sabbath to be the moral and perpetual law of God, and that keeping of the Sabbath on the first day of the week to be the institution of Christ and his apostles. The synod, called Synodius Coloniensis, says that the Lord's Day has been famous in the church ever since the apostles' time. Ignatius, bishop of Antioch, living in St. John's time, said, quote, "Let everyone that loveth Christ keep holy the Lord's Day, renowned by his resurrection, which is the Queen of Days, in which death is overcome and life is sprung up in Christ," end quote. Justin Martyr, who lived not long after him, shows that Christians keep their Sabbath on the Lord's Day as we do. Origen, who lived about 180 years after Christ, shows the reason why the Sabbath is translated to the Lord's Day. Augustine said, quote, "that the Lord's Day was declared unto the church by the resurrection of the Lord upon that day, and by Christ it was first ordained to be kept holy," end quote. And in another place, quote, "that the apostles appointed the Lord's Day to be kept with all religious solemnity, because that day upon our Redeemer rose from the dead, which also is therefore called the Lord's Day," end quote. As therefore David said of the city of God, so may I say of the Lord's Day, quote, "glorious things are spoken of the Lord, of the day of the Lord," end quote. For it was the birthday of the world, the first day in which all creatures began to have a being. In it light was given out of darkness. In it the law was given on Mount Sinai. In it the Lord rose from death to life. In it the saints came out of their graves, assuring that on it Christians should rise to newness of life. In it the Holy Ghost descended upon the apostles. And it is very profitable that on the seventh day, when the seven trumpets have blown, the cursed Jericho of this world shall fall, and our true Jesus shall give us the promised possession of the heavenly Canaan. He that would see the uniform consent of antiquity and practice of the primitive church in this point, let him read the ecclesiastical history. Learned Junius shall speak for all, quote, "Wherefore seeing the Lord's Day is both by the fact of Christ, by the example and institution of the apostles, and by the continual practice of the ancient church, and by the testimony of Scripture, observed and substituted into the place of the Jewish Sabbath. They do foolishly who say that the observations of the Lord's Day is of tradition and not of the Scriptures, and by this means they might establish the traditions of men," end quote. And again, quote, "The cause of this change is the resurrection of Christ, and the benefit of the restoring of the church by Christ, the remembrance of which benefit did succeed into the place of the memory of the creation, not by the tradition of man, but by the observation and appointment of Christ, who both on the day of his resurrection and on every eighth day after until his ascension came into heaven, did appear unto his disciples, and came into their assemblies." End quote. 9. Because that the Lord himself expounded the end of the Sabbath to be a sign and document forever between him and his people, that he is Jehovah by whom they are sanctified, and therefore must only of them be worshipped, and upon the pain of death charges his people forever to keep his memorial unviolated. But this end is moral and perpetual. What God has perpetually sanctified, let no man ever presume to make common or profane. Upon this ground it is that the commandment terms this day the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and God himself calls it his holy day. And upon the same ground likewise the Old Testament consecrated all their Sabbaths and holy days to the worship and honor of God alone. To dedicate therefore a Sabbath to the honor of any creature is gross idolatry. For the first table makes it a part of God's worship to have a Sabbath to his honor. The Sabbath is put for the whole worship of God, and our Savior teaches that we must worship the Lord God only, and therefore keep a Sabbath to the only honor of God. The Holy Ghost notes it as one of Jeroboam's greatest sins that he ordained feast from the device of his own heart, and God threatened to visit Israel for keeping days of Baalim, that is, of lords, as papists do of saints. But he says that such forgets him. And so indeed none are less careful in keeping the Lord's Sabbath than they who are most superstitious observers of men's holy days. The Church of Rome therefore commits gross idolatry. First, in taking upon her to ordain Sabbath, which belong only to the Lord of the Sabbath to do. Secondly, in dedicating those holy days to the honor of creatures, which in effect is to make them sanctifying gods. Thirdly, in tying to these days God's worship, prayers, fasting, and merit. Fourthly, in exacting to these days of men's invention a greater measure of solemnity and sanctification than upon the Lord's Day, which is God's commandment, which in effect is to prefer Antichrist before Christ. Our Church has justly abolished all superstitious and idolatrous feasts, and only retains a few holidays to the honor of God alone and the easing of servants, long though a custom forces us to use old names for civil distinctions. Ten. Lastly, the examples of God's judgments on Sabbath breakers may sufficiently feel to them whose hearts are not seared how wrathfully Almighty God is displeased with them who are willful profaners of the Lord's day. The Lord, who is otherwise the God of mercy, commanded Moses to stone to death the man who, presumptuously mined, would openly go and gather sticks on the Sabbath day. The fact was small, true, but his sin was the greater, that for so small an occasion he would presume to break so great a commandment. A husbandman, grinding corn upon the Lord's day, had his mill burned to ashes. Another, carrying corn on this day, had his barn and all his corn inside burnt with fire from heaven the next night also. Again, a certain nobleman, profaning the Sabbath, usually in hunting, had a child by his wife with a head like a dog, with ears and chaps, and which cried like a hound. A covetous flax woman in Kingstadt, France, in 1559, using with her maids to work at her trade on the Lord's day. It seemed to them that fire issued out of the flax, but did no harm. The next Sabbath it took fire indeed, but was quickly quenched. But not taking warning by this, the third Sunday after it took fire again, burnt the house, and so scorched the wretched woman, with two of her children, that they died the next day. But though God's mercy, a child in the cradle was taken out of the fire alive and unhurt. On the 13th of January, 1582, being the Lord's Day, the scaffolds fell in Paris Garden under people at a bear baiting, so that eight were suddenly slain, innumerable hurt and maimed. A warning to such who take more pleasure on the Lord's Day to be in a theater or beholding carnal sports than to be in the church serving God with the spiritual works of piety. Many fearful examples of God's judgments by fire have in our days been showed upon diverse towns where the profanation of the Lord's Day has been openly countenanced. Stratford-upon-Avon was twice in the same day, being the Lord's Day, almost consumed with fire, chiefly for profaning the Lord's Sabbath and for contemning this word in the mouth of his faithful ministers. Taverton in Devonshire was oftentimes admonished by her godly preacher that God would bring some heavy judgment on the town for their horrible profanation of the Lord's Day, occasioned chiefly by their market on the day following. Not long after his death on April 3, 1598, God, in less than half an hour, consumed with a sudden and fearful fire the whole town, except only the church, the courthouse, and the almshouses, or a few poor people's dwellings. Where a man might have seen 400 dwelling houses all at once on fire, and above 50 persons consumed with the flames, and now again, since the former edition of this book, on the 5th of August last, 1612, the whole town was again fired and consumed, except some 30 houses of poor people, with the schoolhouse and almshouses. They are blind who do not see in this the finger of God. God grant them grace, when it is next built, to change their market day and to remove all occasions of profaning the Lord's Day. Let other towns remember the Tower of Siloam, and take warning of their neighbors' chastisements. Fear God's threatening, and believe God's prophets, if they will prosper. Many other examples of God's judgments might be alleged, but if these are not sufficient to terrify thy heart from the willful profanation of the Lord's Day, proceed in thy profanation. It may be that the Lord will make thee the next example to teach others to keep his Sabbath better. He punishes some in this life to signify how he will plague all willful transgressors of his Sabbath at the last day. Thus we have proved that the commandment of the Sabbath is moral, and that the change of it from the seventh to the first day of the week was instituted by the authority of Christ and of his apostles. But, as in the multiplicating the law, diverse ceremonies peculiar to the Jews were annexed, the rather to bind the people to the more careful performance thereof. As to the first commandment, their deliverance from Egypt shadowing their redemption from hell. To the fifth commandment, length of days and canons, typifying eternal life in heaven. To the sixth commandment, abstaining from blood and things strangled, figuring the care to abstain from all kinds of murder, and to the whole law, the ceremony of thy parchment lace, putting them in mind to keep within the limits of the law. So likewise, to the fourth commandment were added some ceremonies, which peculiarly belong to the Jews and no other people. As first, the double sacrifices appointed for them on the Sabbath day, shadowing how God will be served on the Sabbath with greater obedience than on the weekdays. Secondly, the rigid and strict ceasing from making fire, dressing of meat, and all bodily labor, both remembering them on their full deliverance by Moses, conducted the fiery furnaces and slavery of Egypt upon that day. As also shadowing to them the eternal redemption of their souls from hell by the death of Christ. Thirdly, in the keeping of the Sabbath upon the precise seventh day in order of the creation, shadowing to the Jews that Christ by his death and resting on their Sabbath in the grave should bring them rest and ease from the burden and yoke of the legal ceremonies, which neither they nor their fathers were able to bear. And howsoever in paradise, before man's fall, The keeping of the Sabbath on the seventh day of the creation was not a ceremony, but an argument of perfection. Yet, after the fall, it became ceremonial and subject to change in respect of the restoration by Christ. As a man's life, before the fall, being immortal, became afterwards mortal, and nakedness, being an ornament before, became afterwards a shame. And marriage became a type of the mystical union between Christ and his church. And to fulfill the ceremonies added, for the Jews' sake, to the Sabbath, Christ at his death rested in the grave all the Jewish Sabbath day, and by that rest fulfilled all the ceremonial accessories. Now as the ceasing of the ceremonies annexed to the first, fifth, and sixth commandments, and to marriage, did not abolish those commandments and marriage, nor cause them to cease from being the perpetual rules of God's worship and man's righteousness, no more did the abrogation of the ceremonies annexed to the Sabbath abolish the morality of the commandment of the Sabbath. So that though the ceremonies be abolished by the excess of the substance, and the shadow overshadowed by the body, which is Christ, yet the holy rest, which was commanded and kept before either the Jews were a people, or those ceremonies annexed to the Sabbath, still continues as God's perpetual law, whereby all the posterity of Adam are bound to rest from the ordinary business, that they may wholly spend every seventh day in the solemn worship and only service of God, their Creator and Redeemer. But in the substance of the fourth commandment there is not found one word of any ceremony. The chief objections against the morality of the Sabbath are three. Objection number one, that of Paul to the Galatians, quote, ye observe days and months and times and years, end quote. But there the apostle condemns not the moral Sabbath, which we call the Lord's Day, and which he himself ordained according to Christ's commandment in the same churches of Galatia and Corinth, and he kept himself in other churches. But he speaks of the Jewish days and times and years and the keeping of the Sabbath on the seventh day from the creation, which he terms shadows of things to come, abolished now by Christ the body, and in the law called the Sabbath, but distinguished from the moral Sabbath. Objection 2, that of Paul to the Colossians, quote, let no man therefore condemn you in meat or drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. But here the apostle means the Jewish ceremonial Sabbath, not the Christian Lord's Day, as before. Objection number 3. That of the same apostle to the Romans, quote, this man esteemeth one day above another day, and another counteth every day alike, end quote. St. Paul makes no such account. For the question there is not between Jews and Gentiles, but between the stronger and weaker Christians. The stronger esteemed one day above another, as appears in that there was a day both commanded and received in the church, everywhere known and honored by the name of the Lord's Day. And therefore Paul says here, that he that observed this day, observed it unto the Lord, the observation whereof, because of the change of the Jewish seventh day, some weak Christians thought not so necessary. So that if men, because the Jewish day is abrogated, will not honor and keep holy the Lord's day, but count it like other days? It is an argument, says the apostles, of their weakness, whose infirmity must be borne till they have time to be further instructed and persuaded. Other objections are frivolous and not worth the answering. The true manner of keeping holy the Lord's day. Now the sanctifying of the Sabbath consists in two things. First, in resting from all servile and common business pertaining to our natural life. And secondly, in consecrating that rest wholly to the service of God and the use of these holy means which belong to our spiritual life. For the first, 1. The servile and common works from which we are to cease are generally all civil works, from the least to the greatest. Most particularly, first, from the works of our calling, though it were reaping in time of harvest. Secondly, from carrying burdens, as carriers do, or riding abroad for profit or for pleasure. God has commanded that the beasts should rest on the Sabbath day, because all occasions of traveling or laboring with them should be cut off from man. God gives them that day a rest. And he that without necessity deprives them of their rest on the Lord's day, the groans of the poor tired beasts shall in the day of the Lord rise up in judgment against him. Likewise, such as spend the greatest part of his day trimming or painting of themselves or pampering like Jezebels, doing the devil's work upon God's day. Thirdly, from keeping of fairs or markets, which for the most part God punishes with pestilence, fires, and strange floods. Fourthly, from studying any books of science but the Holy Scriptures and divinity, for our study must be to be ravished in spirit upon the Lord's day. In a word, thou must on that day cease in thy calling to do thy work, that the Lord in his calling may do his work in thee. For whatsoever is gotten by common working on this day shall never be blessed of the Lord, but it will prove like Achan's gold, which, being got contrary to the Lord's commandment, brought the fire of God's curse upon all the rest which he had lawfully gotten. And if Christ scourged them out, as thieves who bought and sold in his temple, which was but a ceremony shortly to be abrogated, as it to be thought that he will ever suffer those to escape unpunished who, contrary to his commandment, buy and sell on the Sabbath day, which is his perpetual law? Christ called such sacrilegious thieves. And as well, may they steal the communion cup from the Lord's table, as steal from God the chiefest parts of the Lord's day, to consume it in their own lusts. Such shall one day find the judgments of God heavier than the opinions of men. Fifthly, from all recreations and sports, which at some other times are lawful, for if lawful works be forbidden on this day, much more lawful sports, which do more steal away our affections from the contemplation of heavenly things than any bodily work or labor. Neither can there be to a man that delights in the Lord any greater delight or recreation than the sanctifying of the Lord's day. For can there be any greater joy for a person condemned than to come to his prince's house to save his pardon sealed, to have his pardon sealed? For one that is deadly sick to come to a physician that can cure him? Or for a prodigal child that fed on the husks of swine to be admitted to eat at the bread of life by his father's table? Or for him who fears for the sins and the tidings of death to come here from God the assurance of eternal life? If thou wilt allow thyself or thy servants recreation, allow it in the 6 days which are thine, not on the Lord's day, which is neither thine nor theirs. No bodily recreation, therefore, is to be used on this day, but so far as it may help the soul to do more cheerfully the service of God. Sixthly, from gross feeding, liberal drinking of wine or strong drink, which may make us either drowsy or inept to serve God with our hearts and minds. Seventhly, from all talking about worldly things, which hindereth the sanctifying of the Sabbath more than working. Seeing one may work alone, but cannot talk but with others. He that keeps the Sabbath only by resting from his ordinary work keeps it but as a beast. But rest on this day is so far commanded to Christians as it is an help to sanctification, and labor so far forbidden as it is an impediment to the outward and inward worship of God. If then those recreations which are lawful at other times are on the Sabbath not allowed, much more those that are altogether at all times unlawful. Who without mourning can endure to see Christians keep the Lord's day, as if they celebrated a feast rather to Bacchus than to honor the Lord Jesus, the Savior and Redeemer of the world. For having served God but an hour in outward show, they spend the rest of the Lord's day in sitting down to eat and drink and rising up to play. First ballasting their bellies with eating and drinking, and then feeding their lusts with playing and dancing. Against which profanations all holy divines, both old and new, have in their times most bitterly inveighed, inasmuch that Augustine affirms, quote, that it was better to plow than to dance on the Sabbath day, end quote. Now in the names of Almighty God, who rested having created heaven and earth, and of his eternal Son, the Redeemer of his church, who shall shortly come on the dreadful day of doom to judge all men according to their obedience, which they have showed to his commandments. I shall require thee who readest these words, as thou wilt answer before the face of Christ and all his holy angels at that day, that thou better weigh and consider whether dancing or stage playing, masking or carding, dicing, tabling, chess playing, bowling, shooting, bear baiting, carousing, tipping, and such other fooleries of Robin Hood, Morris dances and wakes and May games be exercises that God will bless and allow on the Sabbath day. And seeing that no action ought to be done that day, but such as thereby we either bless God or look to receive a blessing from God, how darest do those things on that blessed day, on which thou darest not to pray to God to bestow a blessing on it to thy youth? Hear this, and tremble at this, O profane youth of a profane age. O heart all frozen and void of the feelings of grace of God, that having every day in sixth, every hour and every day, every minute and every hour, so tasted the sweet mercy of thy God in Christ, without which thou hast perished every moment, yet canst not find in thy corrupt and irreligious heart to spend in thy Master's service that one day of the week which he has reserved for his own praise and worship? Let men in defense of their profaneness object what they will, and answer what the devil puts in their mouth. Yet I could wish them to remember that seeing it as an ancient tradition in the church, that the Lord's second coming shall be upon the Lord's day, how little joy they should have to be overtaken in those carnal sports, to please themselves when their master should find them in spiritual exercises serving him. The profanest wretch would then wish rather to be taken kneeling at prayers in the church than skipping like a goat in a dance. If this cannot move, yet I would wish our impure gallants to remember that whilst they thus amuse themselves on the Lord's day, contrary to the Lord's commandment, they do but dance about the pit's brink, and they know not which of them shall first fall therein, into which being once fallen without repentance, no greatness can exempt them from the vengeance of that great God, whose commandment, contrary to their knowledge and conscience, they do thus presumptuously transgress. If then God's commandment cannot deter thee, nor God's word advise thee, I say no more but what St. John said before me, quote, he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. End quote. For the second, 2. The consecration of the Sabbath's rest consists in performing three sorts of duties. First before, second at, thirdly after, the public exercises of the church. The duties to be performed before the public exercises are, 1. To give over working betimes on the evening, that thy body may be more refreshed, and thy mind the better fitted to sanctify the Sabbath on the next day. For want of this preparation, thyself and thy servants, being tired with labor and watching the night before, are so heavy that when you should be serving God and hearing what his Spirit says unto the church for your soul's instructions, you cannot hold up your heads for sleeping, to dishonor of God, the offense of the church, and to shame of yourself. Therefore the Lord commands us not only to keep holy, but also to remember beforehand the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, by preparing our hearts and removing all business that might hinder us, to consecrate it as a glorious day unto the Lord. Therefore, whereas the Lord, in the other commandments, does but either bid or forbid, he does both in his commandment, and that with a special memorandum. As if a master should charge his servant to look well into 10 things of great trust, but to have a more special care to remember one of those 10, for divers weighty reasons, should not a faithful servant that loves his master show a more special care unto that thing above all other business? Thus Moses taught the people overnight to remember the Sabbath, and it was a holy custom among our forefathers, when at the ringing to prayer on the eve before, the husbandman would give over his labor in the field, and the tradesman his work in the shop, and go to evening prayer in the church, to prepare their souls, that their minds might be more cheerfully attend God's word, God's worship, on the Sabbath day. 2. To to rise up early in the morning on the Sabbath. Be careful, therefore, to rise sooner on this day than on other days. By how much the service of God is to be prepared before all earthly business. For, therefore, is no master to serve so good as God, and in the end no work shall be better rewarded than his service. 3. When thou art up, consider with thyself what an impure sinner thou art, and into what a holy place thou goest to appear before the most holy God, who sees thy heart and hates all impurity and hypocrisy. Examine thyself, therefore, before thou goest to church, what grievous sin thou hast committed the week past. Confess them to God, and earnestly pray for the pardon and forgiveness of them, and to reconcile thyself with God in Christ. Renew the vows to walk more conscionably, and pray for an increase of those graces which thou hast, and a supply of those which thou wantest, but especially pray that thou mayest have grace to hear the word of God read and preached with profit, and that thou mayest receive the holy sacrament with comfort, if it by the communion day that God by his Holy Spirit would assist the preacher to speak something that may kill thy sin and comfort thy soul, which thou mayest do in this or the like. A morning prayer for the Sabbath day. O Lord Most High, O God Eternal, all whose works are glorious and whose thoughts are very deep, there can be no better thing than to praise thy name and to declare thy loving kindness in the morning and thy holy and blessed Sabbath day. For it is thy will and commandment that we should sanctify this day in the service and praise, and in the thankful remembrance, as of the creation of the world by the power of thy word, so of the redemption of mankind by the death of thy Son. Thine, O Lord, I confess, is greatness and power, and glory and victory, and praise. For all that is in heaven and earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou excellent as head over all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and strength, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give grace unto all. Now therefore, O my God, I praise thy glorious name, that whereas I, a wretched sinner, having so many ways provoked thy majesty to anger and displeasure, thou notwithstanding of thy favor and goodness, passing by my profaneness and infirmities, hast vouched to add the Sabbath again to the number of my days. And vouchsafe, O Heavenly Father, for the merits of Jesus Christ thy Son, whose glorious resurrection thy whole church celebrates, this day to pardon and forgive me all my sins and misdeeds. Especially, O Lord, cleanse my soul from those filthy sins which the blood of thy most pure and undefiled Lamb which takes away the sin of the world. And let the Holy Spirit more and more subdue my corruption, that I may be renewed after thy own image to serve thee in newness of life and holiness of conversation. And as of thy mercy thou hast brought me to the beginning of this blessed day, so I beseech thee, make it a day of reconciliation between my sinful soul and thy divine majesty. Give me grace to make it a day of repentance unto thee, that thy goodness may seal it to be a day of pardon unto me, and that I may remember that the keeping holy of this day is a commandment which thine own finger has written, that on this day I might meditate on the glorious works of our creation and redemption, and learn how to know and keep all the rest of the holy laws and commandments. And when I shall, with the rest of the holy assembly, appear before thy presence in thy house, to offer unto thee our morning sacrifice of praise and prayer, and to hear what thy Spirit by the preaching of thy word shall speak unto thy servant. O let not my sins stand as a cloud to stop my prayers from ascending unto thee, or to keep back thy grace from descending by thy word unto my heart. I know, O Lord, and tremble to think that that three parts of the good seed falls upon that ground. O let not my heart be like the highway, which through the hardness and want of true understanding receives not the seed, till the evil one cometh and catches it away. Nor like the stony ground, which has hears with joy for a time, but falls away as soon as persecution arises for the gospel's sake. Nor like the thorny ground, which by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word which it hears and makes it altogether unfruitful. But that, like unto the good ground, I may hear thy word with an honest and good heart, understand it and keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience, in that measure that thy wisdom shall think meet for thy glory, and mine everlasting comfort. Open likewise, I beseech thee, O Lord, the door of utterance into thy faithful servant, whom thou hast sent unto us, to open our eyes, that we may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that we may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in Christ. And give me grace to submit myself unto this ministry, as well when he terrifies me with judgment, as when he comforts me with thy mercies, and that I may have him in singular love for his work's sake. Because he watches for my soul, as he that must give an account for the same unto his master. And give me grace to behave myself in the holy congregation with comeliness and reverence, as in thy presence, and in the sight of the holy angels. Keep me from drowsiness and sleeping, and from all wandering thoughts and worldly imaginations. Sanctify my memory, that it may be apt to receive, and firm to remember these good and profitable doctrines, which shall be taught unto us out of thy word. And that through the assistance of thy Holy Spirit, I may put the same lessons in practice for my direction in prosperity, for my consolation in misery, for the amendment of my life and the glory of thy name. And that this day, which godless and profane persons spend in their own lusts and pleasures, I, as one of thy obedient service, make my chief delight to consecrate to thy glory and honor, not doing mine own ways, nor seeking mine own will, nor speaking a vain word, but that, ceasing from the works of sin, as well as from the works of my ordinary calling, I may, through thy blessing, feel in my heart the beginning of that eternal Sabbath, which, in unspeakable joy and glory, I shall celebrate with saints and angels, to thy praise and worship, in thy heavenly kingdom forevermore. All that which I humbly crave at thy hands, in the name and meditation of my Lord Jesus, in that form of prayer which he has taught me. Quote, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. End quote. Having thus in private prepared thy own soul, if thou hast had the charge of a family, call all thy household together, read a chapter, and pray as in the weekdays. But remember so to dispatch these private preparations and duties, as that thou and thy family may be in the church before the beginning of prayers, else your private exercises are rather a hindrance than a preparation. And as thou and thy household do all in reverence towards yourself, towards the church, let everyone meditate thus with himself. Things to be meditated on as thou goest to church. 1. That thou art going to the court of the Lord, and to speak with the great God by prayer, and to hear his majesty speak unto thee by his word, and to receive his blessing on thy soul and thy honest labor in the 6 days past. 2. Say within thyself by the way, quote, As the heart yearns for the rivers of the water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, even for the living God. When shall I come and appear before the presence of God? For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tabernacles of wickedness. Therefore I will come unto the house in a multitude of thy mercies, and in thy fear will I worship towards the holy temple. 3. As thou earnest into the church, say, quote, How fearful is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Surely the Lord is in this place. God is in this people indeed. End quote. And prostrating with thy face downward, being come to thy place, say, quote, O Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thy honor dwells. One thing therefore I have desired of thee, that I will require even that I may dwell in thy house all the days of my life, to behold thy beauty and to visit thy temple. Therefore will I offer in thy temple sacrifices of joy. I will sing and praise the Lord. Hearken unto my voice, O Lord, when I cry. Have mercy also upon me and hear me. Doubtless kindness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell forever in the house of the Lord. End quote. And this is what the preparation, or looking, to our feet, to which Solomon advises us before we enter the house of God.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.